Hello, welcome to another episode of Unfriendly Black Hottie. It's your girl, Anne Shirley, and thank you for tuning in. In this week's episode, you and I are going to discuss interracial relationships and emotional unavailability, per usual. Let's get into it. Okay, so if you've been on the internet of recently, you probably came in contact with the Proud Boys, this meme that's being circulated by Black men, right? And it's of these Proud Boy leaders who are part of this, you know, they are part of the alt-right in America. They're incredibly conservative. They consider themselves Western chauvinists, so to speak. And inherently, they are considered by most people to be, you know, racist. And they all have black wives, black woman wives. And so black men were circulating this meme asking, you know, asking the question, why would a white supremacist want a black wife? And then also shaming black women and calling them bad wenches. And, you know, I've been listening to this dialogue and I feel like it's really important to kind of unpack this because it bothered me in many different ways. And I want to touch in, like, I want us to touch on like the psychological aspect of this as well. So first of all, y'all know I'm a fucking woman, a womanist. I'm not a feminist, I'm a womanist. And a womanist ultimately is for the self-actualization for black women and women of color, right? And this is why. So black patriarchs or black men in general mostly are upset with racism and white supremacy and living in a racist society. Not because it's just morally and ethically wrong, but it's because they feel like their masculinity has been stripped because of white supremacy. And had they had whiteness, they feel like they would have been able to achieve certain things in society and kind of actualize their masculinity, right? So there's like this large victimization feeling from black patriarchs when it comes to white supremacy. And another thing, and the term bedwench is the probably most racist, sexualized thing you could ever call a black woman ever. And let me just give you some context. A bedwench was a term actually coined by a black patriarch, right? A guy, I can't remember his name, but he's a black patriarch, and he started using this word and popularized it on the internet, the Negro bedwench. You can Google it. And he wrote this like major essay. And according to, well, so let's define the term, right? So a bedwench is someone who is a slave, a black woman, who was repeatedly raped by her white male master, right? And according to the Negro bedwench kind of stereotype that black patriarchs have been using, this is what they called bedwenches. They say that a bedwench is a black woman who sleeps with a white man to get privileges, and she separates herself from black people because she ultimately thinks she's better than black people. Right? And it's like the equivalent of being like the house slave. As long as she allowed master to rape her, and let's emphasize the allowing part, right? This is how these patriarchs think. As long as they allowed the master to rape her, she would get benefits. So basically it blames black women who were slaves for utilizing their sexuality for survival. That's what black men are saying, right? And historically, let's add some accuracy. Under a system of slavery, Black women can't consent to sex. It's literally non-consensual sex. There's no form of consent in slavery, first of all. So to even suggest that Black women wanted to have sex with the men who owned them and not actually understand the psychological deprivation that needs to happen to a human being to be degraded into property and to feel like they don't have autonomy over their own bodies, and then to say somehow she's to blame for that, is exactly why I'm a womanist. Right? Black women who were historically raped by white men were also raped by Black men. Black women had no sexual autonomy. None. And there were so many stereotypes in society that minimized and gaslit the experience of being violently raped and not having the ability to choose how you want to express your sexuality. And so from a womanist's perspective, right, I recognize that Black patriarchs use this term so frequently in today's society because they have a sense of entitlement to Black women's bodies. They feel like Black women are theirs. And if a Black woman were to choose to date outside her race, she's somehow betraying the entire race. And they often use this word to describe very successful Black women, women who are educated and who have their own money, who are beautiful and intelligent and just, you know, really wonderful women to be with. Those women, because they don't take on an inferior role in the Black community, Black patriarchs shame them for that, masculinize them for that, reject them for that because they don't want a woman to out-earn them, right? And then on top of it, they compare her to a bedwench if she chooses to be with a partner who's white, a white man. Somehow she's betraying the entire race. And again, as a womanist, I am here for the autonomy of Black and brown women. And so one of my frustrations with this logic is it removes the ability of Black women to consensually choose who they want to be with, right? These women who married the Proud Boy leaders, right? They married them for reasons that obviously made sense for them individually. You and I don't have to agree with it, but Black women do not owe the society herself. If we to self-sacrifice herself, if we think that Black women somehow owe men in general, society in general, submission, we are still asking her to occupy a space of slavery, in my opinion. And so Black women choosing Proud Boys ultimately first is an expression of her autonomy, right? Now let's get into the psychological aspect of it. Why would someone who's a Proud Boy be interested in a Black woman? And there's this theory that's getting passed around on the internet that says, yeah, they're trying to breed out Blackness, which again ties back into the sexualization of Black women and trying to kind of destroy the race through sexually conquering Black women. It's a very misogynistic view because it removes it puts Black women into the space of only being worthy for their sexuality and reproduction skills. It objectifies them. I don't agree with that. I don't think that's why Proud Boys are marrying Black wives, to breed out the Black race. There's so many different other ways to destroy a Black community that, you know, one white guy marrying a Black woman wouldn't do it. Personally, I think that these racist white men marrying Black women are doing so because ultimately they don't actually believe they're racist. They don't actually believe that they're racist. And marrying a black wife validates the fact that they are not racist. In their perspective, these Proud Boys are just protecting Western society. And to find, they don't think that's racist. And they don't think that's racist. And to find a black woman and have children with her validates for them that they're not racist. Okay, cool. Great. And those black women who choose to be with these white men ultimately are expressing their autonomy. They probably believe that they aren't black as a group, as a collective. They are just who they are. And they're just making choices for themselves that make the most sense. I don't know. But I don't think at the core they believe that they are anti-black. They don't wake up in the morning saying, I hate myself. Like, I don't think that that's how it is. I think ultimately they are just self-interested folks who have very conservative values, and this is how they aligned. Period. And my issue from a womanist's perspective is that somehow as a collective, we think that black women's sexuality is still not hers to make decisions upon. Who she chooses to sleep with is her choice. Emphasis on choice. And I'm going to take it another step further, actually. And here's the psychological aspect, right? And I posted about this, and we can get into it here. I was inspired by a video that I saw on IG. As you guys know, I'm an attachment specialist. I'm an avoidant. I'm very interested in avoidance and how it plays out in our relationships. And, just a quick sidebar, you and I are either securely or insecurely attached. And ultimately, as children, if we weren't able to get our needs and emotional needs and feel validated and seen and heard by our parents consistently enough, it does tremendous work on our self-esteem, our capability to communicate our feelings and relationships. We are often attracted to chaos because of it, et cetera, et cetera. So that's just like a run-of-the-mill general thing, right? And so attachment attachment is also influenced by society, right? If you grow up in a chaotic environment, in a warlike environment, the way you attach to your peers is going to be very different. If you were bullied as a child, the way you attach to your family members will be different if your parents were emotionally abusive. So all of these, like, and what I mean by, let me backtrack. If you grew up in an environment, right, where emotional abuse is just considered, being a good parent, because it's a very conservative neighborhood, a very Christian dominated neighborhood, it's very easy to pass on attachment disorders to folks or to children specifically. And so my whole thing is, from a womanist's and an attachment perspective, right? The reason black men are a bit frustrated with black women who are choosing to be with white men and calling them bed wenches and all of this, all of that, is because on a societal cultural level, as a black patriarch, they often feel like black women owe them some form of loyalty, sexual loyalty. And that even if black men disrespect, dishonor, rape, and abuse, and harm, and violate, and cheat, and gaslight through cheating black women, just because they are black, they shouldn't be bothered by that behavior and treatment. let me say this again. As Black women, there's a societal expectation to remain loyal to Black men despite the terrible treatment, because we have to maintain Blackness. It's prioritizing Blackness over gender or womanhood. And as a womanist, I absolutely feel that is wrong, right? Because if Black women are supposed to be loyal to Black men, despite all of the violations they do to us as women, the bedwench and the those terms are ultimately the ways they try to shame us and control our sexuality and make sure it maintains control by Black men only. And when Black women fall out of step and choose to be with other races of men, white men in particular, who can provide for them, right? They feel that it's a complete betrayal of the Black race, because again, for Black men, their oppression stops at race only, right? With Black women, race is an aspect, absolutely, but also gender simultaneously. And as a womanist, this is what we recognize and believe. And so what is being communicated through an attachment womanist perspective is, let's say you are feeling lonely and sad and depressed, and one day you meet two different very attractive people. One person actually has the capacity to really love you for who you are, to really be authentic and stable and consistent and appreciate you. You finally find someone who is emotionally available and honest. And then you have someone who is chaotic, who's insecure, who's invalidating, who's controlling, who's so emotionally unavailable that he cannot be trusted, right? And ultimately, if you're coming from a place of abuse and harm and chaoticness, who do you think would feel the most emotionally good for you? Who would be the most emotionally positive person for you? Who would that be? Ultimately, most of us are attracted to the emotionally unavailable problematic person, because the emotionally unavailable problematic person is familiar. You can always still say that you have someone, right? You can always still say that you have someone, but you also recognize that you can never truly be vulnerable with them. And out of obligation, you get to stay with them. You can say that you have a person, but you know that, like, you will never have to be truly vulnerable. They will never actually truly see you. They will never actually truly value you, because they're emotionally unavailable, and that feels safe. Versus the person who is emotionally available. Even what if you actually do open up to them? What if you actually do show yourself to them? What, and they reject you? What does that mean for you? What will that do to you? And that's the fear, and that's the terrifying part. And that's why we avoid the emotionally available person, not because they are not good for us. We avoid them because it's too unfamiliar. And in the same exact way, we have policed Black women in this aspect. We have told them that it's better to be with the devil you know than the devil you do not. It's better for you to remain race loyal and to sleep with and stay with only Black men, despite the fact that they disrespect you and do not honor you. It's better to do that, to be obligated instead of choose better. And I have a problem with that. Obviously, I have a problem with that. And we can get into it in another episode, but I just want to leave us with this. Any relationship starts with us first. And if we don't truly believe that we deserve better, we will find ourselves stuck in arrangements and relationships with folks that just feel familiar and safe, but aren't ultimately healthy for us. And I always, my always, always goal for us is to feel happy and secure in and of ourselves, and to choose the people that will ultimately encourage that growth of that development. So if you, sis, listening to this, find a white man who is able to meet your needs consistently, who wants to spend time with you, who loves you, who appreciates you, and it's all founded in choice, then go for it. You don't owe anybody anything. All right? And thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Unfriendly Black Hottie. Cheers.